Calling all artists and wannabe artists, this one's for you, especially older artists. We'd love to hear from you this hour if you decided to take up a creative pursuit later in life, like painting or playing a musical instrument or acting in a play or singing in a chorus or anything else that appeals to your creative side. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Former President George W. Bush decided to pick up a paintbrush after retiring from the most powerful job in the world, and his recently published book of paintings is getting some great reviews, and proving to the rest of us that it's never too late to tap into your inner artist. And it's also a good idea, as we will learn this hour, as we talk about aging creatively. We want to know what drew you to your creative pursuit and what you get out of it at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Jenny Smith Pierce, Executive Director of the National Center for Creative Aging. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. The National Center for Creative Aging's website says that there is a vital relationship between creative expression and healthy aging. Let's start with that. Talk about that relationship and why it's so important.
Well, thank you so much. So in 2001, Dr. Gene Cohen did the first ever longitudinal study on the impact of the arts on the health and well-being of older adults. And not surprisingly, it showed when people participate in professionally led arts programs, they feel better about their lives, they take less medication. And so there was this amazing, overwhelming response that the arts are good for you. And I don't know about you, Joy, but if I was presented with an option to take a Prozac or go to a dance class, I'd probably choose a dance class.
Yeah, me too. So that's interesting. So the benefits including taking less medication and feeling better. This was scientifically documented.
That's right. It was supported by the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Institute on Health. And the parts that are really interesting, I think, to this is that they studied two parts of it were about sense of control and mastery. So that was the heart of the study, and that when older people learned something new and it was able to lead to, you know, more confidence and willingness to take risks. And I think that's why they showed that these people who took part in these programs also became more socially engaged. And as you know, like any health promoting activity, in order for it to be successful over the long haul, it has to be sustained. And I think it's inherently difficult when it's boring, for instance, to get on a treadmill. No offense to people who love treadmills, but I'm not one of those people. And so engaging in an art activity is exciting. That idea of being creative makes them self-sustaining. I mean, look at the former president, George Bush. He says he paints 3 hours a day now, and so it's pretty incredible and how much that's impacted his own health and well-being, probably because of that.
In fact, it was the new book of paintings by former President George W. Bush that spawned the idea of this program. Bush did, I guess he didn't actually take up painting. Well, he took up painting after the age of 66, and while he's the first to admit that he's still a novice, his artwork has actually been getting some really good reviews by major art critics. So what is your reaction to all of this attention on the president and his painting?
My reaction is a bit complicated. I am surprised about how earnest and sincere his art, and actually the piece that I really love, it's not in the book, is the one of him in the bathtub that was leaked, I think, a few years ago. I just think it shows it's like his feet and knees from his perspective. And it just showed this really unique, I don't know, perspective of an artist. I think his work is beautiful. And to pair it with soldier stories, the soldiers he put into war, I think is really provocative, and he has an amazing technique, you know, and he hired professional artists to help him learn how to paint. And again, that's the cornerstone, I think, of our work and creative aging, is putting professional artists into communities to teach older people how to do art, from either music or painting or, you know, all sorts of other art forms. I think that's also the piece of it that's really important, is having a great artist guide you through this process.
Yeah, I was going to say that the benefit is gained by participating in a class itself, having a professional and others with you as you learn?
Yeah, I think the participation in a group is so important, because isolation is a big challenge in growing older. There are so many losses that we all experience as we age, and I think the biggest part is starting to become isolated, and there is, you know, research has just shown that isolation increases our health risk. It's like the equivalent, I think, of 15 cigarettes a day. So being in an art class with others can decrease that and introduce someone to perhaps a whole new community of folks that they weren't aware of before.
Jenny Smith-Piers is the executive director of the National Center for Creative Aging, and she is talking with us about aging creatively, taking up some sort of creative pursuit as we get older. And I'm wondering if you have done such a thing. Are you involved in the arts in some way? And is this something that you learned or maybe relearned after retirement? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Jenny, talk a little bit about, you said that your National Center for Creative Aging, one of the things you do is you actually send artists into communities to teach older adults these creative skills?
Well, we actually are a membership organization, and we train other organizations, from healthcare to arts organizations and museums, how to build their own capacity to deploy artists out into their communities. And I will say we cover the whole spectrum of who the arts should be provided to, so from well elders to those with cognitive disabilities like dementia, Alzheimer's, and those artists are specifically trained to facilitate a rigorous, dynamic, and interesting art program. And some of these artists are embedded within lifelong senior centers, retirement communities and things like that. And then you have artists embedded in libraries or museums or community centers. The idea being that it's accessible to all people, whether you have resources or not, that arts has, you know, that access. There's access points for you.
Mm-hmm. Is it just painting that benefits people?
No, music does. In fact, there is a research concluding in California, 3-year research study around the impact of choral groups on the health and well-being of us as we grow older. And I'll confess, after reading some preliminary reports and talking to other researchers involved in music and healthy brain, Joy, I picked up an instrument again. I'm 38, but, you know, so I'm looking forward to being involved in music again, but also hopefully reaping some of the benefits of the health part of playing music throughout our life. And theater has been surprisingly shown to demonstrate with people with early stages of memory loss a better word recall. There's a great group out of Chicago that works with people in the early stages of dementia called The Noises. It's a husband and wife that do improv and theater. So across all art modalities, art, you know, it can really have an impact on the health and well-being of us as we age.
Well, that's what I plan on taking up again. I did it as a high school student, but I've just been so busy, and my schedule is very hard to do play practice at night. But that's what I want to do when I retire. I want to get more involved, back involved in theater. So what about you, dear listener? What would you like to get involved with artistically? Would you like to be in a play? Would you like to sing in a chorus? Do you play an instrument? Are you an artist? Do you paint or draw? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking about the benefits of being artistic in your older years, and we want to hear your stories too. Our guest is Jenny Smith Pierce, Executive Director of the National Center for Creative Aging. We'll check news and then we'll take your calls. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. A new book of paintings by former President George W. Bush is getting positive reviews and quite a bit of attention, and it proves that it's never too late in life to pursue a creative endeavor. And we are learning that creative endeavors have all sorts of benefits for people as we age. We are talking about the relationship between creativity and healthy aging. And we're welcoming your questions for our guest, and we're welcoming your own creative pursuits. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You know what? If you're an artist, a visual artist, and you have a painting, a photo of a painting you'd like to post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, that would be great. Or photographs, or anything that shows your creative side. Our guest is Jenny Smith Pierce, the executive director of the National Center for Creative Aging. And our lines are full, so let's go to the phones. Tim in Eau Claire is with us. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Although I don't consider myself to be older, I had a heart attack at a fairly young age. I was 29.
Oh, my goodness.
And afterwards, I started wood turning as a hobby. And it has done nothing but great things for my mental health as well as my physical health. And I actually contribute a lot of my wood turning to getting me back to work after my heart attack, got rid of a lot of anger issues, things of that nature. And in the end, I have pretty little trinkets that I've turned to the point where when I moved back to Eau Claire after a short time down by Madison, my girlfriend demanded that I set up my wood lathe because she was noticing a change back without the wood turning.
And I want to get our guest to react, Tim. What is wood turning? I mean, what kind of trinkets do you make when you turn wood?
Candlesticks. I'm just starting to do bowls. A lot of handles for tools. Nothing overly special, but little lidded boxes. But it's basically putting a piece of wood on a drill press, laying on its side. That's obviously not exactly what it is, but it's pretty close. And it grips the wood, and you use chisels to shape it into nice, pretty round things.
I can see what it looks like. Well, I'm glad that you found such benefit from this after having a heart attack when he's only 29, Jenny. So, a reaction?
Tim, thank you so much for sharing that story. You know, I think your point about how it changed your mental and you moved you away from anger is something we hear a lot about how art and changes the way we view ourselves, right? And changes the way we potentially react within the world and provides us, right, with this outlet to deposit those feelings into. So it's a very common theme that we hear our teaching artists or the organizations that we work with, that we hear that often. So thank you so much for sharing that story.
Yeah, and I'm in Jenny, you're not exactly a retiree either. Tim is a young man, really. When we say creative aging, for the most part, though, your work and the research that we're talking about is is people who are participating in the arts at a at an older age?
Sure. I mean, we say 55 and up, but I truly believe, we're aging from the moment we're born.
Right.
And while our work does predominantly focus on the latter half of life, the more we can be proactive about aging in a healthy way, meaning getting involved in the arts as soon as possible, I think the better off we're going to be for going to the doctor less and decreasing perhaps our chronic illness, as we grow older and step into our retirement years, right? We'll be better prepared for those years, I think, by engaging in the arts much sooner.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think there's an intergenerational piece of all of this too, that I think is really important to it.
So the grandfathers and the granddaughters are doing the same art project or something.
Yeah, exactly. Or listening to the stories of the older people and moving that into theater, as an example, as they do out in Elder Share the Arts in Brooklyn, New York. How do we learn from our elders and build our own resilience as a community through those stories and wisdom of the older people living in our community?
Yeah. Ben on Facebook writes, I started taking drum lessons at 49.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
great.
It was
something I've always wanted to do. I'm now 51. I'm still taking lessons and I play in a band. It is one of the best things I've ever done. As long as you are still breathing, it is never too late.
It's so true. I think that also speaks to anyone with a chronic illness, and in particularly people with memory loss, right? I think so often we definitely see them as the disease and not as someone still with a whole bunch of potential, right? And in your own backyard, Joy, Wisconsin is a hub of creative aging activity, and they do a lot of work within the museums there called the Spark Alliance, that puts programming into a variety of cultural institutions for people with memory loss and their caregivers, to really open them up to accessing the arts and accessing themselves through the arts.
Wonderful. Well, maybe we can hear from somebody who's participating in Spark as we go along. Let's go next to Deb in Eagle River. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Joy and Jenny. I wanted to just thank you for spreading the word of the benefits of this creative outlet. At the age of 60, and never having played an instrument in school or anything, I wanted to learn how to play the flute. And my friend Brenda made me aware of New Horizons Band, which is a national organization, which will teach anybody any instrument at any age, even if you can't read the flute. They'll read music or play any instrument. And Dr. John Myers taught me how to put my flute together 6 years ago, and now I can read music.
Oh,
and it's such a stress reliever. Mm. It gave me the confidence to tackle the bass class, and now I'm playing the cello.
Wow.
And that has led to, I never was in the theater before, never in a play, and now I said, well, I'm going to try it. So now I'm going to be in a play. And so
what are you going to be in that major motion picture next, Deb?
Maybe so. Who knows? Our Town, it's such a great play.
This is so neat. I love this. And hooray to this New Horizons. That's the band or the organization that will teach you an instrument. Why did you, Deb? I mean, all right, here you go. You're a retired nurse, and
yep.
then at 60, you just said, you know what? I think I want to play the flute. What happened there?
Well, just my friend Brenda was so enthusiastic about it. I thought, well, I wanted an instrument that was light and easy to carry, and I said, well, why not a flute? And I love it, and I just play it. It's such a stress relief. You can't be stressed out when you're playing your instrument because you have to concentrate so much.
Yeah. Mm. Boy, that is, and then from the flute to the cello, which is a little bigger than the flute, Deb, but that's great.
Yeah, <seriously. laughs>
through and through.
So I think this just makes me smile, Jenny. Here's someone who, all right, I'll try the flute. Okay, now I'll do the cello. Now I'm in theater.
Yeah. Joy, this is why I love doing this work, is seeing the possibility unfold, in front of someone. And Deb said, why not? Right. And I think that's also, for me personally, why I love working with older people, is that they're willing to take more risks now. Why not? Right. Mm-hmm. They don't have to save face. I still worry about, how people perceive me at my age. And so many of the people I've worked with in the past and that my artists and organizations work with are like, I've got nothing left to lose. Let's do this. Let's give it a try. And I love that.
Yeah, when you get older, you stop being embarrassed, I think. But
I'm ready for that, Joy.
Deb, good luck to you. Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll look for your lights on Broadway soon. Sam in Eau Claire is with us. Hi, Sam. Sam,
hi.
Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hi.
First of all, I wanted to just really give a shout out to the work that Jenny is doing and the work that her organization is doing. That's a lot of work, and it's not easy. I understand coming from maybe a younger person. I have a couple of questions. First of all, what can I, sort of the average, middle class, late 20s, early 30s guy, do by way of donating or volunteering or getting in touch with some of these other orgs and doing my part to make sure that this continues and expands and gets better?
Yeah, and especially, I suppose, if you're an artist who wants to share knowledge, Jenny.
Well, thank you, Sam, for your question. There's some great groups in Wisconsin. As I mentioned before, there's the Spark Alliance that's working with cultural institutions throughout the state to provide programming for people with memory loss. There's a great group called Fox Valley Memory Project. Mm-hmm. And they do what's called memory cafes. These are cafes held in different public institutions like libraries or senior centers that brings an artist into a space and allows caregivers and their care partners to experience that artist together. It gives respite to the caregiver. And then there's also the Time Flips Project that's based out of the Wisconsin-Milwaukee University. And all of those could use your hours and support and involvement in helping to spread this work so that more older people can participate in it. And if you're an artist, there is an online toolkit actually on our website, on the creativeaging.org website. And it's a free toolkit that gives artists the resources to go out and facilitate their own program with older people. So it's a great course that, again, empowers artists to have the tools to go out and facilitate their own programming. So, I hope these spark your ideas.
So someone could conceivably, especially after looking at that course, could arrange with a local nursing home, for example, to go in there and teach a painting class or something.
Yeah, we would love that, to hopefully start that step of them reaching out to their local senior center or nursing home and saying, I took this course. I'd like to give this a shot. I'd like to try this out. And I think there's also other resources throughout Wisconsin that they could get in-person training, to facilitate that part of their growth as well, if they're really interested.
Sam's dropped off, and I know I thought he had a different question as well. And we are there, maybe I'll put it this way. I thought he wanted to know if certain types of creativity or artistic expression, if any were better than the others. Maybe I should put it this way, that are there different benefits for different creative pursuits?
Joy, I think there is, but there's been a lot of promising smaller scale studies around how the arts, appear to delay or ameliorate, I guess, adverse health effects. But there hasn't, outside of Gene Cohen's study, there hasn't been a lot of in-depth research, so we can point to smaller things, like this really terrific smaller scale research that was done around time slips and the reactions of the staff members, and how their point of view changed for the better towards older people who were participating in this program. So we've seen attitudes of care partners and staff in long-term health care facilities change to a more positive attitude, you know, and we've seen these other benefits of better word recall in theater, you know, better, less depression and taking part in choral groups. So, but I think across the board, they're pretty much the same. Like people tend to feel more confident and more engaged across the board in participating in arts. And I think then there's more nuances, of course, if you get into some of the other ones.
You know, one thing we talked about, you know, painting and drawing, and talked about theater, talked about singing and musical instruments. What about something my mom picked up, especially when she was older, was writing poetry? Is that, I mean, maybe that's too solitary, but what about that as a creative expression?
It's a terrific creative expression that can be done in groups. In fact, there is a group called the Alzheimer's Poetry Project that just worked in Sheboygan with the Gathering Place, where they write group poems together with people with memory loss. And then those who are well and living in the community, I think that we've seen, you know, poets gather in groups to share their writing, to find support, to make it better. So I think writing groups are definitely a big part of this movement as well. Memoir writing groups, poetry, translation.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think I'm glad you brought that up.
A lot of stuff going on in Wisconsin. I'm glad that you are able to share that. Jimmy in Burlington is with us. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi.
Yes, what is your creative pursuit?
I'm an artist. I'm mentally ill. I've been mentally ill since I'm 18. I'm 62 now. I was mentally ill before 18, but undiagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
I was mentally ill since I was about 12.
Right. And what type of art has helped you?
I just started in the past 3 years after I got out of the hospital, Rogers Memorial. Part of my therapy was going back to art classes. I got my degree from Parkside in 1981. DVR put me through college, and I got my degree in art. But I just picked it up again the last 3 years. After my mom went to the nursing home, I was taking care of her, and I had to get routines where I did something every day and be around people. And so I volunteer at places, the Senior Center and at Love Incorporated in Burlington. And I have something to go every way of the week. On Tuesdays, I go to my art class group. It's called The Gathering in Burlington.
Wonderful.
It's a group of people that just meets at a church down the street.
And this has helped you, Jimmy, in terms of your confidence and your emotions.
It helps a lot. It gives me something to do, and it gets me thinking about art all week. When I go for my walk, I'm looking around. I think about art. I've been thinking about art all my life, since I've been in kindergarten. When I look at things, I'm very visual.
Yeah.
I look at things, and I want to capture it.
Well, I'm so glad you called, Jimmy, and I'm so glad that you rediscovered your love of art, and it has helped you. We have to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about healthy aging and the relationship between healthy aging and the arts or creative expression. And we'll welcome your questions for our guests and your own creative pursuits. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. are talking about how and why we should try to age creatively and why participating in the arts can benefit those of us who are getting older. And we're wondering if you have taken up a creative pursuit, especially a little later in life. Is there an artistic pursuit that you have picked up that you are learning for the first time now or maybe relearning post-retirement? Do you paint? Do you sing in a chorus? Do you act in plays? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our conversation is prompted by a new book of paintings by former President George W. Bush, which is getting all sorts of positive reviews and reminding us that it's never too late in life to pursue a creative endeavor. He picked up a paintbrush, apparently, and learned how to paint for the first time at the age of 66. Our guest is Jenny Smith Pierce, Executive Director of the National Center for Creative Aging, and she's telling us the benefits of arts and aging. And we have more callers, so let's go next to Bob in Superior. Hello, Bob.
Good morning, Joy. Nice program.
Thank you. What are you doing post-retirement?
Well, photography has become a way in which I'm able to establish more awareness of life around me, enjoy more around me, and achieve, in particular, in balance from the madness of the world. I mean, art enriches all of us, which is why this is such an exciting program. So in many ways, I always used to do photography as a distraction from my job. But now I have the time to sit in a spot at night, last night at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was taking pictures of a full moon. And there's more light. And when I do things with photography, it not only creates more of a sense of awareness of who I am, it allows me to project that to others, to share it. And there's an enrichment to it. There's a sense of stillness and confidence and enjoy. And I think we all need a little bit more art to distract us from the anger in life.
Oh, and did you, Bob, ever do photography before retirement?
Sure, I did a lot of it because it was more or less taking the camera everywhere, and camera and doing photography enabled me to keep my mind, at least for a short while, off of my job and some of the pressures of the job. But more importantly, it gave me a sense of awareness of life around me, taking that 30,000-foot view of life. And but in retirement, I can literally spend hours by myself, but I'm really not by myself because I'm amongst the sounds of life around me. Yeah. And it's in that stillness, whether it's drawing or music, whatever, it's a projection of the inner self. And from that point of view, I think it makes us healthier and happier and more joyful. And if you look at Facebook Joy, as you do, photography and poetry and expressing the positive is becoming more popular than arguing and bellyaching and blaming, and it's more enjoyable.
Well, Bob, I recognize your voice, and I've seen your photographs on Facebook, and they are outstanding. You are in Superior, and you've taken some just awesome pictures of the Northern Lights, for example, and it really, it's breathtaking. And you know what? It benefits everybody who's looking at those photos too.
I think that's part of art, Joy. I've never considered whatever I do art. It's simply an opportunity to project a moment in time and share it with others, which gives them a chance to enjoy that same moment of quality time in their lives. We all need more of it.
Do you mind if I identify who I think you are, Bob?
Sure.
This is a former state senator, retired state senator Bob Jauch, who spent a lot of time working on public policy in our state legislature, and he, in fact, you just it was election before last, I think, that you decided not to run again. So you're fairly recently retired, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's, so I think your story takes on even more significance in that this photography and this creative expression of yours is something that takes you and others away from what can be the ugly rhetoric of politics. And it may maybe you know, takes on a little bit more meaning, too, because of that. Well, thanks very much for joining. Let me get Jenny to react to, there we go, photography, Jenny, is a great creative pursuit.
It's a terrific pursuit, the digital art form, and I just want to go back to something Bob said about the opportunity to project a moment and to share our art making with others. And I think that's not only the making of art, Joy, but the sharing of what we've created as we grow older is critical to put something else out into the world that is more joyful, that moves us away from the ugly rhetoric, but also changes our perception of growing older, right? And changes who we see older people as. So by showing the woodworking, listening to this, you know, Deb play the flute, we are putting out alternative images of aging. It's not a deficit, right? It's not sick and weary and disabled. It is this other, like, exciting idea of what it means to grow, the possibilities, right, Joy? Like, as Bob is saying, this new awareness of who we are and how it enriches us as we grow older. So I think that's the other part of this that's really exciting, is our chance to redefine aging.
Yeah,
I creatively feel younger. When I look at artwork from young people, they're creatively becoming older.
Yeah, I like that idea. And the intergenerational piece of it, too, right, I think is really exciting.
Well, it's an honor that you called, Senator Jouk, and keep up the great photography, and consider making your Facebook page public so we can share all those photos with everybody.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir, for your support. Thank you so much.
Yeah, let's go next to Sally in Eau Claire. Hi, Sally.
Hi. Well, I'm a 72-year-old widow, and when my husband and I were wintering in Florida, I would love to do something other than just sit there all the time and watch the waves. So we started doing bird watching. Well, that got to be an obsession with us. And then I would pick up little kits in Hobby Lobby and to embroider birds. Well, they didn't have kits that had the birds down there. So One day I sat down, which I could not draw a stick man. And I started just with a pencil, and I erased. I'd move a little bit more. And all of a sudden, I showed it to my husband, and he says, "You drew that?" And it was one of the birds from Florida.
Ah.
And then I put it underneath, drew it really dark, and put it underneath a light, white piece of fabric, and I started embroidering. And I looked at the pictures of the birds that we took, and I made it look exactly like that, which most of the birds you saw in kits didn't really look like the actual bird.
So not only did you draw the bird, but then you would embroider put that into your needlework.
Yes, and then I got into sea turtles, and I started doing that. But then when I came home, I did some more, and some friends of ours invited us to their cabin. So as a thank you gift, I made them a pillow, which I embroidered a picture of a loon that I embroidered and drew.
I love that you're able to incorporate your love of the birds with your creative artistic expression. So needlework, and I thought too, quilting is something too, Jenny, that people can do as a group project too.
Absolutely. And you're reminding me as well of, you know, memory boxes, you know, that's something you can do as a family with a loved one. I'm thinking of, you know, the picture she's collecting of birds and what that could look like as a group project. But yeah, quilting is a great group mm-hmm. project.
Chris on Facebook writes, painting is incredibly expensive. I am about to set up my studio again for the first time in 20 years on a fixed income. Is there funding available to help? I guess to help people who want to creatively age.
Great question. The local and state arts council supports arts programming for older people and older artists. So I would suggest looking at the humanities and arts councils there. You know, and checking in with your local art supply store. Maybe there's a way to create a barter or some type of, you know, community project together where they donate the art supplies for older people in the community.
I am guilty of saying this myself. I like to sing in the car, and I like to sing, you know, in the shower. But I nobody else wants to hear me sing. So I, you know, it's sort of like, well, I'm not going to join a chorus. Or, you know, we just heard our caller say that she couldn't draw a stick figure. But what would you say to someone who said, you know what, I'm not any good at any of this stuff, you know, so I'm not going to even try.
Yeah, Joy. So I would say, you know, just come into the room for 5 minutes, just check it out, and then stay for a little longer, and you can feel free to leave at any time, but, you know, come in and give it a shot. You know, I think what stops us from entering the room is our own internalization of ageism, that, you know, from a very young age, we've learned that the older we get, perhaps society is telling us the less we're able to do. So, you know, while we've heard from many people that they've said, why not? So many people say, I can't, because they don't think they can learn anything new anymore because society's told us that, right? So I would just push back and say, you know, give it a shot. It's not going to kill you. Your voice that's not in tune is going to be perfect as part of this group, you know, and walk out if you don't want to come back. It's okay.
We have just 30 seconds to go. It's not only will it not kill me, it might help me, right?
It might help you. Right? That's right, Joy. It might actually help you.
Well, this has been fun, and I am inspired to take up that acting sooner rather than later. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Jenny Smith-Pierce, Executive Director of the National Center for Creative Aging. Thanks to producers Chris Molina and Brianne Chasso. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.